Good day and welcome to the Informa 10-month trading update call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Richard Mengius-Gao. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks very much, Pen. Good morning, everyone. It's Richard Mengius-Gao, Director of Investor Relations at Informa. I'm here with Gareth Wright, our Finance Director. We're going to have the same format as we normally do for these trading update calls. So Gareth's just going to say a few brief words, and then we'll jump straight into Q&A. Thanks very much. Gareth, over to you.
Thanks, Rich. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming on the call. As you're seeing from the release that we put out at 7 o'clock this morning, our headlines for today are that Informa is on track to deliver the 2018 full-year financial expectations and that we continue to deliver our operational and combination objectives for 2018, setting us up well for a full year of delivery as a combined group in 2019. As the statement shows, the group underlying growth for the 10-month period to the end of October was 3.9%, which puts us well on course to deliver our 3.5% plus growth objective for the full year. As the statement lays out, we continue to make good progress with the accelerated integration plan, our plan to combine the Informa and UBM businesses. So if you take in the rounds, the underlying growth delivery, plus the progress made with the accelerated integration plan, we're pleased with how 2018 is progressing. Given the huge amount of work that's going into the AIP, we could easily have been distracted by that. So it's good to see that the businesses are performing to plan. As expected, the growth is a little lower than the half-year growth of 4.3%, mainly due to the seasonally lower growth in global exhibitions during the third quarter, and this is consistent with previous years. As a reminder, we are reporting underlying revenue growth, which includes pro forma growth of acquisitions from the day of completion. So UBM's year-on-year growth is included within the 3.9% growth from the mid-June completion date onwards. Within that result, the 3.9%, the legacy Informa business has grown at 4.1%, and the UBM business has contributed growth of 3%. So turning to the divisions, firstly, in our academic publishing businesses, we have continued to trade consistently with growth of 3.8% for the 10 months. The dynamics behind this trading are similar to those in the first half, with a consistent performance from journals and a year-on-year improvement in books, particularly in e-books. And this follows on from the investments we made through the Growth Acceleration Plan and continue to work we've made to improve the go-to-market effectiveness of the academic publishing division. Then turning to the global exhibition business, and as we've done in the release, I'm going to talk to the global exhibition business separately from the UBM business. Underlying revenue growth was 6.9% for the 10 months, which is in line with our expectations for the period, as the second half of the year is the seasonally slower growth half for the Informa business, with less of our fast-growing major brands. This performance puts us on track to deliver around 6-6.5% growth for the full year. And the overall message for GE, I think, is that it's in good shape. It is a focused, strong set of B2B international brands in attractive and growing verticals with opportunities for future growth. And the team are also well positioned to complete their role in the combination with UBM. Turning to our knowledge and networking business, which also continues to make good progress through the last couple of months, revenue growth ticked up to 1.5% from the 0.5% growth reported at the half year. And this outcome leaves us well placed to deliver our growth target in the range of 1% to 2% for the full year, although there is still plenty of trading to deliver in the last 2 months of the year, particularly in November. Trading in the three core end markets of global finance, life sciences, and TMT continues to perform well. And within those markets, the largest 30 to 40 events are the key growth drivers for the business. Moving to our data and information services division, business intelligence delivered 2.4% underlying growth in the 10 months, consistent with its performance in the first half of the year and a slight increase on the 2.2% growth delivered in 2017. This leaves us broadly on track, but the real focus now is that we have the business in consistent year-on-year growth and is on looking at which verticals we want to focus on. You'll have seen today in the release that we've announced that we're in discussions around the disposal of the agribusiness portfolio and also the IGM business. And finally, in the legacy UBM portfolio, underlying growth has been 3% in the 4.5 months since completion and 2.3% on a pro forma basis for the 10 months to October. And within that 2.3% growth, events revenue has been growing 3.4% and the OMS revenue declining 5.5%. We've seen strong performances for a number of the main brands that have traded in this period, and the trading in the UVM fashion brand has been no worse than the assessment we made post-completion and that we discussed with you at the half-year results in July. As you would have guessed, particularly in UVM, there's been a lot of focus on the accelerated integration plan, and as laid out in some detail in the release, we've made real progress in line with the timetable that we set ourselves at completion. So in summary, as I said at the start of this intro, I think the headlines are that we're on track in 2018 to deliver on our trading targets and also to achieve the combination project deadlines that we set ourselves. And that leaves us well placed as we approach 2019 for a full year of growth with UBM combined in the portfolio. So I hope that was a helpful summary of the key dynamics that we see from the press release. But as Richard said in the opening, we'd be happy to take any questions that you have on it.
Over to you, operator.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 for questions. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll take our first question from William Packard. Your line is open. Go ahead.
Hi there, it's Will Packer from Exam BNP Paribas. Thanks a lot for taking my questions. Three from me, please. Firstly, since we last had an update, the concerns around the Chinese-US trade war have become a little bit more acute. Now, your performance indicates that it's having no impact, but that's kind of what you'd expect with the phasing of the revenue model. Could you just update us as to how things are on the ground? Are you noticing any impact from deteriorating trade relations within the Chinese business or more widely? Secondly, could you update us on the specific performance of fashion in the four-month period and update us as to how we should think about that going forward? How is the turnaround plan progressing? And then finally, could you please provide a bit of an update on the size of those assets that are up for sale within business intelligence and their margin, so maybe perhaps revenue and margin profile?
Okay, we'll probably take those in reverse order. I mean, I think in terms of the businesses that we are talking about in terms of the disposal process, we're not going to get too specific, obviously, as we're in we're in discussions around the businesses at the moment. But I think we've said that in terms of ag, the ag business is around about 10 to 15% of the business intelligence portfolio is what we talked about previously. And I think we've said that the financial businesses are around about a third of the portfolio, and IGM is one of the larger sort of five or six businesses within that portfolio. So that hopefully gives you some idea of the size of the assets that we're talking about. But in terms of specifics, I think we'll hold fire until we're further through the discussions before we get into the detail on exactly what it means for the going forward business. In terms of fashion, I mean, the key thing for fashion is that it has traded in line with the assessment we made in June, July post-completion. So there's no news on the upside, but I think there were certainly concerns there might be news on the downside, and I think we can confirm that is not the case. But the largest show of the year traded in August, which was a good opportunity for us to get out on the ground and talk to the customers and people involved in the show. And I think that went well. I think people got a sense that there's a kind of new act in town and that we were looking on making some changes and getting behind the shows. And the other thing that we've seen is that there's no sort of unitary performance. It's not like the whole business is down 10%, which is if there was a fundamental structural change in the market, you might expect to have a more consistent performance. What we're finding actually is that some shows are better and some shows are worse, and that points to us into the management and the execution of the shows being a really important dynamic for us going forward. So overall headline, no change there, and it continues to track in line with the assessment we made of how it'll go through 2018 and 2019. And then finally, on the China-US trade war, and as you've picked up in the release, we're not seeing any change in the dynamics around that in our numbers. But I mean, the reality is we're really focused on our business at the moment. We're really focused on delivering our trading and hitting our revenue numbers for the business. And we're really focused on getting the accelerated integration plan working smoothly and progressing through its targets. So that's really what we're focusing on a day-to-day basis rather than whatever the President of the United States might be up to.
And can I just ask one quick follow-up? Thanks for providing the kind of overview of the size of those businesses that you're looking to sell. Would it be fair to assume that they are growing significantly slower than the overall portfolio? Are they declining? That'd be helpful just to clarify.
Yeah, I think we'll probably give more details on this, I think, going forward in due course. They're good businesses, and therefore we're not surprised that there's some interest in talking to us about them. But as I say, we'll get probably more detailed and more specific on it maybe at the year end when we've got a process. I think the purpose of today is really to update on trading for the 10 months and give you a feel for how the business is progressing with the integration.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Nick Dempsey from Barclays. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, Gareth. Morning, Richard. Three questions, please. So exhibitions into next year. You've given us a comment here like you did last year that you hope to beat the markets in terms of organic growth. I'm guessing that refers to global exhibitions, so old Informa exhibitions, point one. But what do you think the market will grow? And does that mean that you're not seeing any weakening of trends on Middle East, which was something that you flagged as a slight concern in the first half? That's question one. And then on margins, clearly you don't give us margins for the 10 months. That's clear. But the market was a bit disappointed with your outcome on margin at the first half. You pointed some timing issues. I wonder whether you can give us any comments on where full-year consensus margins are and whether those are broadly sensible. And last one, BI growth trending a bit worse than you'd hoped at the start of the year. You slightly revised your guidance versus then. Can you give us a few comments on why the improvement in organic growth has just been that little bit slower than you'd hoped?
Sure. Thanks, Nick. I think you got about 9 questions in there, actually, but well done. What I'll do, I'll take the stuff around GE and BI, and then Rich can dig out his consensus numbers while I'm talking. In terms of GE, yes, you're right. That comment is specifically in relation to the Informa business, and we talk about the UBM business overall. But we think the global exhibition market is kind of growing around 4 to 4.5% at the moment, and that's the backdrop against which we are making our assessments. In the rounds, we've not seen any further weakening in the Middle East. It ran some property shows in the third quarter. That's really been a kind of unchanged dynamic across the year as a whole to date. So no further worsening, but I wouldn't say it's any better really either. In terms of business intelligence, we think we're broadly comfortable with where this business is. It's continuing to evolve. If you kind of go back to where it started from in 2014 with 8 to 9% decline, we're pleased that it's continuing to evolve to get to where it is now with 2.4% growth. You're right that the growth hasn't ticked up since the half year. That 2.4% is consistent with the half year number. I think really it's a combination of probably two factors. One is that as we're looking to grow the business, we're looking to try and win new business, and that's possibly a longer, slightly slower process than we'd hoped it would be. So it's taking a bit of time to come through. The pipeline's there, the products look good, the feedback's good. But just as you close these subscriptions, it takes a while for the revenue to come through in the unwind. And as I say, it's just taking a bit longer to actually close the deals than perhaps we'd hoped when we set out our aspirations for the year. And on the other side, one-off work around consulting, et cetera, that was good in the first half, but it was also good in the second half of last year. So there's a tough comp in that space. So that's also proving a bit harder to outperform last year's numbers than we found in the first half. So, but I say overall, in terms of the where the business is going and its medium-term, longer-term prospects, we're comfortable and pleased with where it is.
Yeah, on margins, Nick, I mean, obviously we had a lot of focus at the half year. I don't think anything's changed since then. As we talked about then, there's various sort of factors this year that feed into it in terms of sort of FX, the YPI acquisition last year, depreciation, real catch up on the GAP program. So I think those things play through. I think consensus for the full year has margins marginally down on last year, which is sort of what we talked about the half year. So I don't think anything's really moved on and changed from then. The dynamics are the same.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Chris Collett from Deutsche Bank. The line is open. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Yes, Chris Collett from Deutsche. Thanks for taking the questions. One was actually just on the academic business. Appears that saying that the renewals in journals appear to be consistent. Just wondering if there's any additional color that you can provide about what you're seeing in the academic market on the journal side. And then you referred to this earlier, but just wondering if you could give a little bit more detail about within GE, specifically when you look at your renewal rates for events taking place in 2019, have you seen any change in those forward bookings? And also on GE, thinking particularly within the China business, perhaps this relates more to the UBM events. Are there any statistics that you can share with us about the proportion of the visitors or the exhibitors that are domestic or pan-Asian, and how many of them are international? Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. In terms of academic, yeah, the renewal process has been pretty consistent, really, over this year. You've got negotiations ongoing with customers always. It's part of your, making sure you're building a relationship with your customers and making sure you're clear on what your customers want and what their concerns are and where their focus areas are. So there's been no particular change in the negotiation dynamics around journals over the course of the year. I mean, open access has gone well. That Dove business that we bought has been helpful both in terms of our operational learnings and our capabilities, and also in terms of our trading performance. So that's helping the open access area. But overall, a very consistent performance from the journals business in academic. In terms of GE, we made a comment in the statement about the future outlook in looking into 19. Really, at this stage, you're getting good visibility over the Q1 events and a bit of visibility over Q2, but that's quite early. And really what we're saying at the moment is there's no change in our view of the outlook for the business based on the bookings we've seen, particularly for Q1. That seems to be going pretty much in track with what we expected.
Yeah, and I think your question on attendees or exhibitors at the big events, I mean, the big shows tend to be regional, whether it's North America or Asia or Europe. It's one of the beauties of the market in that, you build strength in regions. And then sometimes you can take those brands to other regions. So the vast majority of attendees and of certainly of exhibitors tend to be domestic and regional. You do get international, obviously you're sort of pushing for that. It would vary quite a lot by event, so I'm hesitant to give you sort of split, but vast majority would be domestic and regional rather than fully international. And I think that gives you some sort of confidence and comfort, depending on what Mr. Trump decides to do next.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
We'll take our next question from Matthew Walker from Credit Suisse. The line is open, please go ahead.
Thanks, good morning. I've got a few questions, please. The first is on, just to be a bit more precise about fashion. Was it correct that you said it was down about 10% in the first half? And now you're saying it's still down around that level, if you could just clarify that. Second one is on academic. Obviously, there's been a lot of noise around cancellations of journals and also Plan S. If you could give us your thoughts, A, on what Plan S could mean and why you haven't experienced any cancellations so far, unlike most of your peers. And then lastly, on just on China and Hong Kong, could you give us, for China and Hong Kong, could you give us the what those are, China and Hong Kong events, what percentage that is of your group revenue? So China and Hong Kong events as a percentage of group revenue. Or just an absolute
okay,
number. Or just an absolute number, we find.
Just to scale
the greater China exposure.
Okay, I'll kick off on the fashion stuff then. So what we said about fashion, I think, in the half-year results process was that fashion had been down, declined high single digit in 2017, but that once you took out the launch event that was in 2017, actually it was down around about 10% year on year. And I think what we said was that in 2018, we envisaged it being down 10% again, so kind of unchanged in 18. And what we're seeing both, we're in the business and we've had a look at the numbers in more detail, and what we've seen in the trading that we've seen is I don't think there's any reason for us to change our view and outlook for the fashion business. It's trading consistently with what we expected. In terms of 2019, I think we didn't envisage there being any particular acceleration in 19. Our fashion growth acceleration plan started with the August event, but it was going to take, you know, a year or so to really gain momentum, take effect, and begin to improve performance. So, as I say, it's still down 10% year on year, but that's no different to where we thought it was going to be, and we're comfortable that we're on course and on track with the improvement plan they put in place. We changed the management, and we've begun to make some specific changes in the business. In terms of China and Hong Kong, I think if you look at sort of business on a pro forma basis for a full year, I think we'd say that China and Hong Kong are about 15 to 20% broadly in the rounds of the combined Informa UVM B2B events portfolio. That's the sort of scale of it overall, comprising both events in Hong Kong and then events in Shanghai and regional events in China. So that gives you a scale for it.
Matthew, on academic, I think, you know, you renegotiate lots of contracts every year. We tend not to be sort of public about that. You know, you have some that renew well, others people want changes in their portfolios and so on and so forth. So I think, you know, that's just part of the business year to year. I think I'd say we're a humanities and social science business. And I think we, you know, we always try and be flexible with customers in the way we approach contracts, and they all want something slightly different in terms of mix and sort of puts and takes. And we've always had an approach to try and be sort of flexible with that. This market's been sort of evolving and changing, and customer needs have sort of been moving for a long time, and that'll sort of continue. So we'll keep our approach of sort of staying flexible in the market. And at the moment, we're not seeing any sort of big shifts and change.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Singer Hurst from Citi. The line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi there. It's Tom here from Citigroup. I suppose a couple of questions on the former UBM assets. I hear what you say about no major changes to trend in fashion, but it does look like technically there's a small trim to guidance in terms of full-year growth outlook. From memory, I think you were saying 3 to 4% previously, and now it's around 3. So just wondering what else has changed within the UBM event portfolio that's sort of that making you think differently about the organic growth prospects for the full year, or whether it's non-event driven. And then the second question is, excluding fashion, would you expect UBM to match global exhibitions in terms of being able to outperform the market in 2019? Thank you.
Well, Rich can come in on some of the guidance points, but I think, you know, overall our view on the UBM portfolio is it's trading where we expected it to be. So I don't think there's been any particular change in our view of how the assets are performing. But I'd say Richard can come in on the specific guidance points. In terms of UBM's overall growth, again, you know, this is it's working out as we expected. UBM's got a bit of a the UBM portfolio, taken as a whole in the rounds, is a bit different to the Global Exhibitions portfolio in terms of the you know the verticals it's in, in terms of some of the geographies, in terms of the makeup of the product base and the revenue by type splits. And therefore, I don't think there's any expectation that UBM was going to come in and immediately start growing the same way as Global Exhibitions was in the whole. And in part of the UBM business, it is. So it's got some very strong brands and some very strong verticals that it's in. So some areas are growing very well. And we've highlighted some of them there in the release in terms of things like CHPI, Furniture China, Black Hat. And these are excellent businesses that are growing just as fast as some of the strongest businesses in the GE portfolio. But in the rounds in the portfolio as a whole, we didn't expect the UBM portfolio to come in and start matching the GE portfolio in terms of growth from day one.
Yeah, I think on guidance, I honestly don't think anything's changed. I think we were 1.1 at the half year on a pro forma basis, UBM was. We're 2.3 now. You'd expect it to be higher at the year end because the last 2 months, seasonally for them, they have other major brands sort of going through. So plus or minus 3%, I think, on the group, and then events sort of plus or minus 4%. I think that's where the market was at the start of the year, and it's sort of broadly trading to that. Within the mix, fashion is the bit that's dragging and sort of weak. You know, and you strip that out, obviously the portfolio's performing better. So I think it's basically where we expected to be. I think the key thing is internally there's just a lot been going on. I mean, we've really pushed through the AIP to get to a point now where teams really are in place so they own their budgets going into 19. And that's required a lot of stuff to happen in the last few months. And as Gareth said earlier, it would have been easy to drop the ball on trading while you sort of do that. We haven't seen that. So I think getting to this point, not seeing any performance discount and being where we are on combination, we feel pretty good about that internally.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll take our next question from Catherine Ted from Goldman Sachs. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone. Just a couple of final questions from me. Firstly, on the cross-selling revenue synergies, which you mentioned through the AIP coming through from 2019, can you just give us a bit more colour in terms of specifically how much we should expect to come through and perhaps a bit of a pace in terms of phasing as well? Be really helpful. Secondly, can you help us understand a bit of the growth profile of the pharma, retail banking and maritime business intelligence assets? Just keen to understand the growth profile of those specific areas. And then finally, just on academic, I know you sort of don't want to talk too much to the sort of Plan S news that's out there, but any sort of colour you can give us in terms of the conversations that you're having with your customers and whether or not Plan S is really impacting those discussions would be really helpful. Thank you.
I mean, the key thing I think to say about Plan S is one thing it isn't is it's not a plan. It's a thought piece about the evolution of the industry, and therefore, you know, there's nothing that specific in it, and it is a it's part of the ongoing dialogue really you're having in the market. So there's no specific directional guidance or timelines in it, but it is, as I say, just a part of the ongoing dialogue. And that's a dialogue that we've been having in this industry for years, and we're not seeing any particular change in that dialogue or the tone of the dialogue, and we're just having to work with it like we've always done. So I think it's something that, you know, it comes and goes in terms of the profile, in terms of the prominence. Something like Plan S comes out as a document or as an idea piece, and it kind of brings it perhaps more to the surface, but it just kind of evolves over time. And therefore, we're not really seeing any particular change in the nature of those conversations. We're engaged with them, as you'd expect, and we're working with our customers to make sure we understand what they need and what they want specifically, rather than getting too distracted by the high-level industry pieces and the industry movements overall. So I think it's very consistent, and I think we're comfortable with where we stand on it.
Catherine, on the BI question, again, I don't think we're going to get too drawn into it. I think the thing I'd say on those businesses and verticals is, you know, that's where we really have strong market positions, big brands, and I think for us, we just feel there's a real opportunity in terms of long-term growth and scale. And, you know, we've come from a position in BI where we were down sort of 8-9% to consistent positive growth and, you know, all areas growing to different degrees. I think now we're just making choices about where we've got the best positions and therefore longer term where we think we can build the, you know, the strongest sort of business. So you'd expect in those areas us to have, you know, strong brands and, you know, the best potential for future growth.
And then the last question was around cross-selling. I mean, we just mentioned that in the release to give a bit more flavor around it. It's something that we're targeting for 2019 to try to start to deliver some specific output in that space. But, you know, revenue synergy is obviously very difficult to sort of quantify and to, you know, to predict. So we haven't got any specific numbers that we're releasing to you today in that space, but it is something certainly we'd hope to be able to demonstrate some progress with in 2019.
Thanks, Catherine.
Great, thanks very much.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the conference back to the speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
Great. Thank you, operator. Well, appreciate everyone dialing in early on a Friday. Gareth and I are around if you want to have a follow-on chat later. But thanks, everyone, for your time today. We'll see you all soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.